Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Gosh, love me, love forever. Why I'm writing lyrics like that? You know, really, I'm sad. Why I'm so happy when I write like dance songs? Do you like happy songs?
Love me forever.
I know. But is this true? Oh, we are talking to ALP, our friend ALP, who, of course, everybody knows because you are here all the time when you are promoting your new song.
He's only here when he's promoting stuff.
Yeah, you know. Okay, but that's why I'm so happy when you call or your manager calls me, hey, can you have ELP back?
Yeah,
I'm
like, yeah. I mean, it was just yesterday, right?
Yes, like
I was out today driving around. They were like, you have to go do the radio thing. I was like, oh, God, okay.
Your first single that we were promoting, the title was?
Feel It.
Yes, and what can I say? I just love this song.
Yeah, it was.
Do you still like it after 2 years?
I don't like them after the next day. I mean, I get just sick of them. I mean, they become this kind of, I don't know. It's just like, I don't have an opinion.
You know what? I love this song, and probably I will ask you to sing for like 30 seconds.
30-second version.
Yeah, because I love the high notes.
Oh, yeah, they're the ones I can't do for 30 seconds.
I'm sure. No, you need to go to this place, and high notes will happen, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, then again, we are talking to Mr. ELP.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us maybe 3 lines? Who are you and where you're coming from? You have an accent, which you are perfect for accent on the show.
Yeah, I'm ELP. I'm from Ireland, and I'm in LA, I guess. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Okay, and do you think, you said that you came back from London, yes?
Yeah, well, I was in that part of the world. I was Ireland, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, I have to go there a lot, seeing as I my family's there, you know.
Oh, you miss them?
Yeah.
Or they miss you?
Yeah.
You have no choice?
I don't think they miss me, no.
Oh, why are you going
sick
there?
Of me, they just have parties when I leave.
They just love. What do you like, beer or food there? Do you want water?
I have water.
You have water?
Yeah,
I gave you water.
It's all waiting for me.
No,
service
okay.
With a smile.
Beautiful. But we'll be listening to your new single, and I so much love that you are coming always with new songs here, because most of my friends, they are liking to promote their stuff on Accent On, and you know, having the right to play for the first time. I hope I'm the first one.
For this song?
Yeah. Oh, well, you already
you're
promoted.
You're the first live version.
Okay.
I haven't performed a live yet.
Okay, and Accent On, LA Talk Radio, Ilona Europa, and ELP for the first time. I don't want to hear more. First time. Here, live.
Okay. Do you want me to play it?
No, I want to introduce my guest because this hour, I think it's filled with friendships, because my another guest, Tim, and your name is?
Tim Kessler.
I call you friend.
Sure.
You know, it's different types of friends that we see them a lot. We just have dinners a lot, or we just cry together. Some of them are friends that we meet and work for a little bit and have some hopes and dreams. And I was looking up to you when you were working at Vax, yes?
Yes.
And it was like four years ago, and I was a little bit working with this beautiful, wonderful agency. Hi, Wes.
Hey, Wes.
Yes, we love you. And Tim, you are not working right now with Vox, which is a company that...
Vox is a voiceover talent agency.
One of the best as well.
Yeah, the best.
The
about
best
that?
In town.
Yes.
And you decided right now, or like, I don't know when this happened, you want to be on your own?
About 4 years ago, I decided I would start my own management company in the alternative television world or space. So that's what I'm doing now.
That's cool. 4 years ago.
Voiceovers, is it?
I don't do voiceovers. I actually ran the alternative television department there.
Oh,
yeah. But it is primarily a voiceover agency.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's cool. Then 4 years ago, you decided you want to be on your own, and you started something that really works very well. And I want to know a little bit more about this. And 4 years ago, I didn't decide to be on my own, right. But happened. And I am very happy 4 years later, because really life goes on and changes are good in life. But sometimes life brings you really, really bad. And I don't want to call bad words, but like really something bad can happen in your life. And you have choice. Give up, give in, or just hope and do the best that you can. Then our amazing next guest, which Tim, thank you so much for introducing me to Cassandra. And your name is?
Yes, I'm Cassandra Hine.
What a story. I don't even know if I have a right to tell your life story and your sister's life story. And then, you know, many, many years later, you are doing something so special. And I think we want people to listen. Seems like this is very serious topic, very serious topic. But really, I see hope. I see never give up situation. I see love and family and also situation nobody can predict in life. And sometimes, like your sister said, lives happen. Mm-hmm. And what can you do, you know? Then I do not know if Tim is the person who's supposed to just introduce Cassandra and a little bit brings us to the topic of our show.
Sure, absolutely.
Let's do that.
Well, 4 years ago when I started TKO Media, Inc., I created three different departments. And one of those departments is representing producers. Cassandra is the best producer.
Oh, thank you.
In town, in the country, in the world. And she has several different compelling stories, but this one specifically about her and her sister's life, I found incredibly interesting. And I thought, you know, let's do this. And so she's been working on this project for quite some time called After Orange, Halfway Home.
Again, After Orange,
Halfway Home.
After Orange.
Halfway Home.
Yes,
it's a movie.
It's a movement.
You know, if we will ask a Yelpy what he thinks when he hears the topic, the orange already has the strength when it comes to the color, and we everybody knows the movie, and we know that probably is something more serious. Okay, it's not about color; it's about.
Yeah, so After Orange is what happens after prison. So my sister actually has been incarcerated for about 10 years, and it was kind of just a fluke event that happens, you know, with some family members, and it was my aunt's ex-boyfriend had gotten out of jail, and he was pretty abusive, and, you know, not to get into the whole thing, but in a nutshell, my sister ended up defending herself against him after he attacked her and stabbed him once with a knife. And we all know that it was self-defense, but then she was out on bail for 5 years before a trial, and then was ended up being convicted of second-degree murder for that incident that happened. So,
wow. It's like, you know, listening to you telling all the story goes very fast, and I almost want to make a little stop and just to all our listeners, there was your sister. She was young, yes?
Yeah, she was 21 at the time.
Her life just begun.
Yeah.
And like she said, lives happen, you know, violence and just horrible situation inside of the house mm-hmm. of her aunt.
Yes.
Yeah, this happened, and whatever is inside a family. And the gentleman died, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, wow. 15 till 25 years.
It was 20 to 50 first.
Gosh.
And then they pulled back and made a deal and said, well, you know, when you purge yourself on the stand, then they kind of make deals with you. So they took half of that time off and made it 10 to 25, but that meant that she couldn't appeal the case. And so she's been currently in going on her minimum. And the judge had recommended that she gets out in 10 years, which was her minimum, and that will be coming up soon. So.
And then maybe we will give people a website that they maybe because they will be interested probably to find out more than if you can give us.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about what we're doing, it's afterorange.org, and you know the project. I did interview her And was documenting her story before she went into prison. And then I thought, you know, this would be interesting to follow some of the people that she became friends with as they left prison. Yeah. And so I started documenting some of her friends as they left prison. And in that process, we found that a lot of the women, you know, especially the ones that are constantly getting into trouble, you know, the recidivism rate in our country is close to 68%, which means if you go and you get out, there's a very big chance that you're going to go back, especially for the people that are really, you know, into drugs and into the criminal lifestyle. Some of these people have been doing drugs since, you know, they were 12 years old, started with their parents. And so they just have grown up in that type of scenario where, you know, that wasn't really the case with my sister. So we found that this was an interesting thing. You know, why do they keep going back once they're released? And so
you think safe place for them? That's why they really almost maybe want to do something back to something that they feel familiar. Well,
it's a combination of your belief system. You know, those beliefs and the meanings that you put behind things, I think it starts at a very young age. So if you're, if you grew up in a household where doing drugs with your parents was normal, which is normal for a lot of these women, then, you know, going back to it, you kind of revert back to what the belief system that you had created for yourself, whether you were conscious of it or not. Yeah. And so, you know, in that process of following these women, we realized that a lot of them didn't really have a safe place to go when they left. And the housing component is such a key to the process, because when they are released, so oftentimes you get $25 and, you know, they drop them off at the bus station. Where are they going to go?
This is a crazy, obvious... seems like a next step, you're supposed to produce a movie about that. And I'm sure you will.
Well, what ended
do
up
that.
What ended you up happening that. Was yeah. that we op- then I you know I saw the need for a house, so I opened a house, and that's why it's After Orange Halfway Home. So the house was really created for the women to have a safe place to come to once they were released. And so started building a program for them to not just parole out to, but also have a family structure, something that they are able to keep themselves accountable with. They have meetings every night. They have to go to a certain amount of 12-step programming per week. And, you know, we bring in experts and people to work with the women on the healing process, because it really is a process, you know.
Tim and Cassandra, when I listen to her, it's just easy. Seems like, oh, that's what I do, that's what I do, that's what we did, that's what we open, that's what we're being. No, let's rewind that and let's start focusing on step by step. Because why I think it's so important to really let listeners to listen to life story of your sister, your life story, because your family life story, and obviously intertwined the life story of a family of a gentleman who also lost his life. And even when we are talking about your sister, they're very similar, situation with a lot of ladies who are in a prison right now. And when you are saying so nicely, because you are well organized, this is your life for last 8, 9, how many years?
Well, you know, when it happened, my sister was 21, but she was out on bail for 5 years.
Yeah.
So
I want to talk about this period.
It's been 15 years now.
Because you know what I'm saying? The way how you and your sister, your family structure your sister life before she went to prison, to me, I don't want to call this genius. I think it's like the most sweet, the most thoughtful, the most great things that maybe we could advise some people who have very similar situation, a little bit less. Because before you go to prison, you can do so much of your life that will better your life when you are released.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you say that, because my sister had the rare opportunity to be out, you know, because she was out for five years.
Waiting, knowing that I don't even know if this is plus or minus, because if I will know that in 5 years ELP, what do you think? If we'll know that in 5 years we need to go to prison for another 10 or 15.
I'm going back home to Ireland, that's all.
Oh, yeah. Then we'll find you there too, you know what I'm saying?
I'm running.
You know, but if you make this light, but really some people will. How you can live life, wake up every morning and thinking hope, future, I'm structuring my life, thinking what will be after, not between this crazy, crazy period. Tim, You know, I'm saying about me, I don't know. Probably I will be very similar, sorry, Cassandra, to you, your sister. I will, because I'm a positive person in the worst situation in life, I will find something that will bring me up, and I, you know, will cry for 2 days, and then I'm like, okay, what now? I need to do something. And but you need to have structure of love and a family and people who will hold you.
Yeah.
What did you know Cassandra then?
No. I didn't know Cassandra, back 10 or 15 years ago. I've known you for now, four, five, six, maybe seven?
Or eight, yeah.
Seven
That's
or
a
eight
long
years.
Time, you know, that you both have just the story, that you both are writing and thinking and just hoping for what, Tim?
When, well, yes. At the end of the day, you know, Cassandra's true vision is to make sure that her sister's taken care of at the end of this. And it looks like at the end of this story, at least at this chapter of the story, she'll be released. She'll have somewhere safe to go. She could always go home to her parents, to be perfectly honest with you. But Cassandra really wanted to set up something for her sister when she was released so that she would have something to look forward to, because she has, you know, at this point paid her debt to society. And yes, nobody is saying that, you know, what had happened is, you know, we all feel horrible for the situation for the gentleman who, you know, is no longer with us, which is horrible. But at the same time, now it's time for her sister, you know, Jamie, to come out and also start living her life and becoming a productive part of society.
Do you know her? Did you
I've
meet
never met the sister. I've only talked to her on the phone a lot. Okay. I feel like we know each other very well at this
Great.
Point.
Then, because I want to organize our steps in a story. The 5 years are very interesting to me because your sister knew what type of woman she is.
My sister is very strong. You know, she's almost to the point of honesty where you're like, you don't have to be that honest, you know. But no, she's an amazing person. She has a great personality. You know, she decided to get clean and sober when everything happened because she was going down the wrong path. She was in a dark place in her life. She, you know, had gotten a couple of DUIs by the time she was 21. She had, you know, had a pretty tumultuous relationship with my parents and I. We always loved her, but it was hard to deal with her. And that's why she went and lived with my aunt in the first place, but then had already moved back. So she was actually in town staying with my aunt to deal with a DUI situation. And so when everything kind of came to a head and that, you know, fateful evening actually happened, you know, that changed her life. And she said, I can't live my life like this. And that's really where her recovery started. Hmm. So she was able to actively, you know, work her 12-step program for 5 years before she even went into prison. And it's really interesting because now I meet women. Just the other day, we have a program, a meeting that comes to the home on Friday mornings. And one of the, there was a woman who they met at another meeting who knew my sister. And she was like, oh my gosh, I really want to talk to, you know, Cassandra. And she wanted to get a hold of me. And this has happened many, many times. In fact, some of the women that are inside of the home, living in the home, were very close with my sister because she really promotes the recovery from within the prison itself. And so this woman called and she said, you know, she was like, she started crying and she was like, oh my gosh, your sister helped me so much. Like, I'm still clean and sober today because of her. Mm-hmm. And there have been like probably at least 10 people who've gotten in touch with me after they've gotten out saying how much she helped them inside with their own recovery. So
she
really
found her calling. She is there to help people. She helped herself, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And you are here to help her when she will be out of prison. But in meantime, this girl is turning her life around and she's serving practically people who need her strength.
And
the
this
most.
House really serves as a platform for her to do the work when she gets out, you know, because it's just as much her program as it is mine. I'm just the one that's doing all the work outside. But when she comes out, it's ready to go and refine the program even more because we want to really raise awareness and the correlation between the drug use and the amount of recovery that needs to happen with the criminal side of things goes hand in hand. So, you know,
repeat the place, the name of the place, the name of the organization, it's nonprofit, and the I everybody who wants to see all the links, they are listed on Accenton on Facebook, and our show will be, of course, ready for downloads and to stream anytime anybody wants, how many times they want, probably in a few hours. Then please go to LA Talk Radio Archives to the Accenton. But like I said, on Facebook, we have all links and all information about Cassandra and Tim's also. Then, and Yelp. True, Yelp. I posted it. Yes, of course. But
yeah, it's afterorange.org. And, you know, at this point, we've been able to keep the house going with donations and things like that. So, I mean, we're trying to keep the doors open at this point. So if you're excited about the project and you like what we're doing, even if you wanted to give us $5 for, you know, all of the money goes to the house and to the program and to keeping these women, keeping a place where they could come to. And it's just a safe environment. It's a family oriented place. And there's a lot of love when you walk into that house. You could feel it, you know?
Wow. We will take a little bit break. We'll be playing a little bit of music. And in a way, knowing Yelpi, he's very, very sensitive, very romantic. And I listened a little bit to your song, the new one, The Gravity. And we'll be playing live, maybe feeling, maybe you play Feel for Me. And but The Gravity, probably I will be playing MP3. But to, like I say, we'll come back to this pretty serious topic and the talking about the house place for the ladies who are leaving prison that they can come back to. And this is something very, very important because we all need to have a place to go to. And even when we don't have a family, and even when we have friends, not so many friends open house for us and say, oh, come on, my couch is ready. More friends are like, I don't have a couch for you, but I would love to help you, but go somewhere. You know, it's just taking care of ourselves is not so easy when we are in trouble. But I cannot even imagine, you know, just being many, many years inside of the prison and then having no contact of outside of the world, and then being like left, like you say, with $25 in your pocket, and what's now? And then I really think we need to make big, big point and start our conversation from this moment and say, how does this happen? Where this idea came from? And don't tell me, oh, I just opened the house. Because, you know, I know, Cassandra, I know this is not how it happened. It's very serious, but it's beautiful also, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, hi, Yelpi.
How are you?
Yay! Okay, will you sing?
I was very interested in that. Because I just watched a documentary, I can't remember, I think it was just last week, and it was about how prisons here, which is unbeknownst to me.
13th. Was it 13th, the documentary?
I have no idea what it was called, because I am a sieve. But all I remember is that they were saying that, they were making the point that, like, prisons are like businesses, basically, and they're treated like profit-making. But that's insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was, like, shocked. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
No, but on the other hand, we'll be little maybe mentioning that your sister has some health issue, very serious one, and also the amount of money that, you know, I would love to talk all about that. It's just one woman, no, it's two sisters, life story, plus family, plus just the story that is keeping giving. And a lot of people already are, I don't want to say saved, but in a way, yes, saved. And a lot of ladies probably are very thankful for both of you that you opened this home, a house for them. Oh, see, somebody, oh, it's my child, she's driving home. Hi, Natasha, I'm on the radio.
Natasha.
Hi, Natasha. Okay. Give us a little bit moody, LP. I just love your voice.
Do you know
okay.
What? Do you mind if I play a song that's more suited to this?
Typical man. You ask him, he says yes, and then you got what you didn't want in the first place. Okay.
I want to sing a love song after.
I love you. Oh, yeah, do whatever. I love your voice. And
you don't mind?
No,
you can stop
I don't.
Me.
No, I will stop you, of course. Sure. Or maybe not.
What if I don't bleed the same as you? And what if I don't see? What if I don't see the things you do? And what if I don't feel? And what if I don't feel as can't deal with the pain I'm going through. Sometimes you don't seem to understand. Sometimes I don't mean to shun your hand. But what if I can't breathe? Yeah, what if I can't breathe when you're around? And what if you're too real? Sometimes you're so real that I just can't stand. And now I'm falling to my knees, but you're not there. And I'm calling heaven, please, but you don't hear. I don't seem to shine bright like before. I gave my life, you wanted more. Shattered, oh yeah. Forever's the night that finds me shaking. Where was your light?
So appropriate, yeah. And beautiful.
I know you're better than a love song.
Oh my gosh,
that's a great song.
That was great.
Beautiful. Yeah. Last time when you were here, remember you were singing later on some really pretty cool charity event. Remember,
I connected.
It was also for women.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Big yes.
Yeah,
yeah. And they loved it. You there. You are so wonderful singer, so honest, so passionate. I just love you.
Thank you, Anna. Sorry if I spat on you, Jordan.
Not at all.
love you.
Yeah, carry
yeah, do it again. You were right. That was beautiful. Title of the song?
That one is called Shine, and I don't know when I'm releasing that one.
No, you released now. We released your new single.
I don't think
number.
That's
yes.
Be released for ages. So.
Come on, don't wait. I hate artists always wait for the perfect time.
Yeah.
Time is now. Don't wait.
Well, I just take so long. I mean,
no, you just do it.
Yeah.
Pay $40 CD baby, boom, is there, and let this breathe. You never know what's happened. I worked with so many young artists, and next year I release my album. No, do it now. You got
a
song.
That's not exactly the reason.
Acoustic version.
Well,
you're genius.
Well, I did actually release this song, and then I had to take it back because anyway.
But right now we are here also for the reason of releasing the real single number, whatever, two in America. And Gravity. No, tell us a little bit about this one.
Gravity. It's a song I co-wrote with my producer, Jonathan Smith, who's a genius. And Well, actually, it's a song he had that was completely different. It was the only thing the same was the word gravity.
Sorry, Jonathan.
Yeah.
This song needed to be rewritten.
I took his song and I butchered it, or as I like to say, I yelpied it. And and so now it's Gravity. And and we just shot a music video in space. Well, in Utah, but it was set in space. And that's coming out soon. And we just released the song on the 11th of February. So yes. It's really just after coming out.
Very, very fresh. Okay. I will be playing MP3. This will be
play MP3.
Perfect final version. Okay. Let's do that. One second. Water goes out. Mouse is going somewhere. Okay. Gravity. Yelpy. The song, can we download?
It's everywhere.
Give us all links where
it's
people need to go.
It's everywhere. I just put in your
Gosh, it's everywhere. Okay, where?
Spotify, iTunes, whatever you listen to.
Okay, iTunes. Okay, that's because not everybody will go to Spotify. And
well, I mean, whatever you use, it's on it. So
Okay. Yeah. And give people your website one more time if they want to
just
find
Google
out.
Just Google Yelpy. It's all there. Yelpy.net.
How you spell Yelpy?
Y-E-L-P-Y. Not Y-E-L-P-I-E. That's Yelpy.
I know. Then one more time, clearly.
Y-E-L-P-Y.
Yeah, look at you.
I was like Yelp with the Y at the end.
I know. I like that. It's so cute. Anyway.
I had a first.
You had a first?
Yeah.
Ooh, they add Y and now they make billions?
I tell you. I sent them an email and said, hey.
Hey, give me why back. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Congratulations. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. Next time when you come, you'll be playing this live acoustically.
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know how you can go to these high notes. Your long notes, you're a storyteller and you are romantic. I love it. You're a balladeer forever. I cannot even imagine when we find out that you're getting married or you have like whatever big romantic situation, because the song that you write, that would be so beautiful. Nothing like that is coming your way?
Like marriage?
Yeah, whatever. Love, marriage,
I've
children.
Been married briefly already.
Briefly? I like the situation.
Like,
what is briefly?
Like a month.
What?
Yeah,
you're married?
For like a month, yeah.
Oh. Come on, man. Yeah. That's why I didn't see you for so long. Who are you married to?
No, this is way before. This is ages ago.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay.
Like you got married and then a month later you got divorced.
Whoa, people, don't do that.
Rock and roll, baby.
Don't practice this in home.
Rock and roll.
Okay, you're done with marriage. Okay, now we are in America and you're writing amazing songs and we love you for that. And anytime, you know, just let your manager call me and you are always welcome. I love you. No, that's okay. That's life. We need to talk about life, coming back to life. Cassandra. Tim.
Yes.
Okay, please don't tell me that opening this half home was easy. And when the idea started coming up to the reality? When did you decide that, oh, it's possible? And we are talking about Las Vegas. We are talking Nevada. We still need to tell people this home, half home is not everywhere.
Not yet.
I know that's your dream. Could you tell us, this is a one place, how many ladies they can live in this place? How many?
We can have 10 residents.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of facets to the project, because going through it and actually doing it is a lot different than thinking about doing it. You know, you end up learning a lot while you are doing it. And so, you know, just being okay with kind of going, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I had the opportunity to open the home because I had a family friend that I've been talking to about opening a home for quite some time. And, you know, I was just confiding in her, and I was actually looking at homes to purchase. And, you know, it became very clear very quickly that you wouldn't be doing it for the money, because there's not, you know, the women that do get out,
there's
high turnover rate. You know, the amount of income that they are allotted from the state is pretty minimal. And so,
then we are talking donors, sponsors.
Yeah.
And how did you get this home?
Well, the family friend, it's funny, about a year later, she was like, you know, she had moved her family out to LA, and they were living in Las Vegas. And so she had a home that was being leased, but the lease was coming to an end. So she said, you know, I do have a house, and it would be a great house to do this at. And I was like, really? I didn't even know that she had a house that would even be available. She just came to me because she knew that I had been thinking about doing this. And so, you know, she was like, yeah, this is, you know, this house is, you know, going to be up from the lease, and if you want to do it. And I said, okay, cool. So it kind of prompted me to go, okay, well, the lease is going to end at this time. And so if I really want to put this thing together, I'm going to go and try to get donations and, you know, fill up the house with furniture and beds and all that stuff. So my dad drove down from San Francisco.
Okay, fill up. No. How did you get the money to fill up the space with all of these things? You are an amazing woman, you know. I know you're smart. You have this beautiful light in your eyes.
Thank you.
It's like everything looks like it's easy. I know it was not easy. How did you furnish house?
I got all of the, everything in the house was donated. Pretty
beautiful.
Much for the most part. My dad came down with his truck and I was going to open the home on November 1st, which was like a Tuesday. So I actually live in Los Angeles. And I, one of the women that had come out that I started interviewing many months prior to that, she was also a friend of my sister's on the inside. You know, she had agreed that she would be the house mom. And so I just decided, okay, well, I'm going to come out at the end of October and get donations. And my dad went around to, you know, garage sales to pick up, you know, mattresses and stuff like that. And, you know, mattresses, you can't resell them now. Yeah. It's illegal. So yes, they have to either be donated or, you know, so we literally just put it out there that we were looking to fill this house up, and we were able to get enough in the house with, you know, there was enough couches and furniture and mattresses and stuff like that. I mean, even now I still have mattresses just on the floor. So I'm still looking for, you know, the bed box frames.
You know, there's
frames and bed frames.
You know, there's
and stuff.
That thing, Let Go. It's an app.
Oh, letgo.com.
There's people giving stuff
something
away free on that all the time. I, like, every time I look at it, it's like free beds.
Yeah.
Okay. Just go on there. Like, where I live the kind of Calabasas, Malibu area. Mm-hmm. So every time I turn that app on, there's people giving away their beds and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, just
okay. But we are in a great place right now to give people one more time information how they can donate, because seems like maybe by Let Go or maybe by garage sales or something, seems like certain things you already have. But obviously, you need money. You need money for food, for clothing. You need. What do you need?
Yeah, well, the monetary donations right now are just going to paying the bills, food. I try to buy the women food when I go into town. You know, the laws are very specific with, like, food stamps and stuff. So when the women are eligible for food stamps, they're supposed to put their food in their own little place in the refrigerator and have their own little area. And they're not supposed to share it because, you know, they run the risk of, oh, well, everybody has food stamps and they'll all share the food. But that becomes, with 10 people, very, you know, it can be conflicting, kind of, you know. And so, you know, I do like to get community food as much as I can, because not everybody is eligible for the food stamps. And there's just certain things that I've figured out, you know, along the way, the rules and everything. You know, people have moved in already and, you know, they wanted to go, you know, be with their boyfriend after curfew. And, oh, well, my boyfriend's outside. Could he just come in? Well, no. You know, you know, there's
just
like,
how do you enforce that, like?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it is I put my best into it, and I expect them to put their best into it. So at the end of the day, there's going to be people that want to go back to that lifestyle, and that's on them.
How long they can stay?
Right now, I'm looking at like a 4-month period of time. But what we've been able to create are some work opportunities for them to do like their own kind of business model. So it's really about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And so I set up I was able to get computers donated and set up a home office. And so now we're actually teaching the women how to become virtual assistants and really create it to be like them doing business for themselves. But they could use the home space. So what we're trying to do is create opportunities, whether it's in sales, you know, over the phone, or, you know, things that they could do from the house. Because, you know, when you get out of prison and you don't have an ID, and you don't have a social security card, you're spending a lot of time at social services just trying to figure that stuff out. So it's not like, you know, you don't get out and then a week later you're just full-time employed. You know, you have to actually go through that screening process, and just to get to the place where you can be screened.
And
if you
drive,
don't,
everybody, I'm sure they have,
yeah, they take the bus. Yeah. You know, it's definitely a challenge. But, you know, if they didn't have the place to live, oftentimes they would just go back to doing what they were doing before, even though it was illegal. They know that they can get money that way,
yeah,
you know,
faster. Okay, then, if people who listen, please, if you have some money, you have some ideas, or you just listen how one woman with few people who want to help can change so many lives, who practically maybe they are ready to be, like, disposed. Nobody thinks that woman who comes back over and over to prison is easy to rescue her, you know. But really, we all are there waiting to be rescued in life once upon a time or more. And you are doing that, and you are doing this under very unusual condition, because we are talking ladies who are living prison with no money, and they have different state of mind. Mm-hmm. And the house, the half house, how you call, is needing donation. Then where people can find you, where they can click, What is the place?
If you go to afterorange.org, you can make a donation there. I've got a PayPal set up for the After Orange home. And so, you know, everything that you donate, it goes to the house. And it goes to, you know, just generating, getting the women on their feet. And, you know, from the food to the bills to even work supplies if they need them in order to get started. You know, one of the big problems that we're facing right now is in the state of Nevada. And it's really interesting because I've kind of uncovered this is to be on the P&P approved list, which is parole and probations. You have to, you know, be approved. Like a couple of the parole officers have approved them so that we're technically P&P approved. Yeah. But in order to get the woman directly out of prison, they need to be state licensed homes. Well, to get a license, it's $4,000 just to apply. And then it's another maybe 25 to 30 grand, depending on if you need the sprinkler system in the home. So the reason why there's so much backup in the prisons and they can't get directly out is because there's no certified places for these women to go. State licensed places, because you have to pay the $4,000 and then not even knowing if you're then going to have to pay another 25 to 30 grand.
Ladies could be free and they're waiting. Yes, waiting.
Yeah, we have five people on the list that have put our address in to get out, but we're not a state licensed facility, so we're just waiting to see if they're even going to approve them to get out. And they haven't even come to the house to check it out and see our
Tim,
program.
ELP. Yes. Cassandra, we have an idea. Accenton has amazing artists coming every week almost. They play different type of music. We have hearts. We have a time. We have talents. We just need to find a place that we can just have a show, concert, bring people in and donate our time and talents and just give money if it's possible to find a place that, you know, artists can create our show, a one-hour show. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people will pay and donate for this cause. We just need to think about this, how to do it. Will be no problem with artists. Axenon will take care of it. We have art. We are there, yes?
Thank you.
And I have very young artists also, you know, children who are always looking. I'm calling children, 18 years old, 17. We need to give them also some purpose, you know, in life. Then seems like you have so much to do, but this will be one more thing that maybe once or twice a year, maybe this could be easy things, but we could start one day somehow somewhere.
Yeah,
just
that'd
place,
be great.
You know, we need to find out what restaurant.
All those things start small, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely have a huge passion for music. And I've actually had my cousin, she is an artist as well. And so I've had her do a lot of the original music in the first season of After Orange and Beyond. She's been doing some original music. Actually, her music isn't in the first season, but it's going to be in the second season. And
there's a show as well.
I've been documenting the whole thing. She has a great
product. I see that on the website too.
Go on the website. You see in YouTube.
Yeah, actually, if you go to prisonprogress.org, and you could go to the After Orange tab, then you can watch the full first season of the show. And the episodes run like 5 to 10 minutes right now. But, you know, and that's how I started. I started getting all this footage because I was like, this is a really cool idea. And I wasn't really sure where I was going to take it. So last year I was like, you know what? I need to share this footage with the world because this is so interesting.
No, time is now. Yeah. Seems like everything in life is, you know, coming to the place that isn't just now.
Right.
Then if the idea of creating a show and concert, or if we can find a place that artists can come and gather, and then we can spread the news and just the people know where this money will go to, because you have a nonprofit organization, seems like this will be not so hard. I was working with a few nonprofit organization for children, and we were raising thousands of dollars in 2 hours, $100,000 for children from El Salvador, and started from $30,000 before. In 3 years later, only children entertainers that I was preparing for the shows, but parents and grandparents and whoever brought, they raised $100,000, you know.
Wow.
Then you never know, need to start somewhere. Then for today, okay, if I may introduce one more time our guest, Cassandra, your name and
Cassandra
your organization
Hine.
Name, if you can repeat.
Yeah, it's Cassandra Hine, and it's afterorange.org.
Wonderful. And Tim Kessler, your work?
TKO Media, Inc.
Yes, thank you so much for introducing us to Cassandra. And
absolutely.
I know she will be back because we want to know what's going on. And maybe we can help. We always dream that we can help people. ELP. The gravity is really working towards something good. And then hopefully your single, that is called Gravity, will really skyrocket and will be loved by many. Welcome to come. When we hope things happen, yes? And for today, Accent on Ilona Europa, thank you. And maybe I will play like 30 seconds of something of mine, Dance and Pray, because that's the new song for me too. And I like this one.
Listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.